Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, celebrating 30 years as local hearing healthcare professionals. With a practice featuring 5 doctors of audiology, including 2 who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient. They believe those personal partnerships are how people embrace hearing technology and keep hearing the most important sounds of their lives. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Throughout the campaign season, we're conducting interviews and forums with candidates in various races. Today, we talked to the people running for state representative in the 88th House District, which covers Morton, Washington, parts of Bloomington, and much of rural Tazewell and McLean counties. The seat is currently held by Republican Keith Sommer. He's challenged by Democrat Carla Bailey Smith and Libertarian Ken Allison. Sommer leads the answers on whether he supports the graduated income tax constitutional amendment question on the November ballot.
I do not support the graduated income tax amendment. I believe that a graduated income tax will drive entrepreneurs, investors, and middle-class workers from Illinois. A new tax structure does nothing to address our issues. It only gives the same legislators who increase spending by an additional 6% for fiscal year 2021 another vehicle to add to the tax burden of our citizens. And the proposed amendment would only give 10% of the tax proceeds to paying down the state pension debt. Where would the other 90% go? We are not being told. Tens of thousands of family farmers and small businesses who cannot move out of the state would see their taxes greatly raised in this time of economic stress. And just yesterday, a top administrative official said that if the graduated tax were not passed, then perhaps a larger tax would be imposed upon all the individuals of Illinois. I am disappointed at that discourse and am opposed to the graduated income tax.
We move next to Libertarian Ken Allison.
Absolutely not. And the reason why, using the last 21 years of my professional experience in doing tax returns, not only for individuals, but for businesses alike, I can tell you firsthand the impact that it's having on our communities. You know, I should say, when they decide to implement a progressive tax structure, really what's going to end up happening is a continual erosion of our tax base. And what that means is that as people decide to out-migrate, we're going to be left with what's remaining. And as long as we continue to have a bloated government, there is absolutely no reason to trust what's going down on in Springfield. I can promise you that. But before, you know, if that should happen, and if we're going to go down that direction, then I think we need to take a look at who those millionaires and billionaires are. And I would ask J.B. Pritzker to go ahead and publish his tax returns for public comment and public review. So this way we can see where his allocation apportionment is. Because that's how most people that make any kind of wealth, that's how they deviate from paying the Illinois tax.
And finally, Democrat Carla Bailey Smith.
As I said in my opening, I do support the fair tax. It gets us closer to a balanced budget, and actually it would help small businesses because the fair tax only raises taxes on those people who have a net profit of $250,000 or more. Most small businesses don't reach that. Our small family farms don't reach that either. Illinois is one of only a few states that have a regressive tax rather than a progressive tax that mirrors the tax brackets we use for our federal taxes. Because the fair tax only raises taxes on people making $250,000 or more, most people will see their taxes go down. This is going to help the middle class. This is not going to hurt the middle class. And the additional funding for education will allow for property tax relief, which will also help our middle class and working class families. The state should bear more of the cost for our public education, not our homeowners.
The pandemic has had far-reaching negative effects on the small business climate, service sector workers, and many other parts of society. What should state lawmakers do to cushion the current pressure under which people live? I'll note that there will be another question about recovery, so you don't need to front-load your answer to that area just yet. And we'll start with Libertarian Ken Allison.
I can tell you right now, I think our state lawmakers should do something. I think at the start of this, back in January, February, March timeframe, I've seen very little very little action at all out of the General Assembly relative to what's going on with the pandemic and COVID. Our small businesses are being crushed at levels that most people just don't realize and just don't want to hear. And the reality is this all could have been prevented. They could have been transparent. They could have deviated. They could have provided that information down to the local levels and let the local leaders make those decisions, make what's best for our communities. So this way, people can go through their normal course of action and deal with things based on how they are seeing the world. But at the end of the day, we have a governor that's acting unilaterally, really without challenge.
We move next to Democrat Carla Bailey Smith.
Many of our small businesses were left out of the PPP loan programs, and the federal money that was later used for grants came too late to save some of our beloved small businesses. We can continue to prioritize loans and grants to keep our small businesses open, and freezing rent and mortgages for them can make staying open possible. The General Assembly should propose TIFs that are specifically for small businesses, and we can prioritize this in the future. We're giving away too many tax revenue dollars to large corporations that could afford to pay it, and they don't contribute to keeping money in our community the way that small businesses do. And I agree that the General Assembly should have been meeting earlier this year to help keep our small businesses open.
We'll move next to Republican Keith Sommer.
It's interesting that both of my candidate colleagues talked about the lack of action by the legislature. That is true. When the legislature terminated its business, I believe on Friday, March the 5th, the governor called a meeting and asked legislators to attend for information about what was ahead. I thought I better run there quickly because of the 177 legislators, seats might go be a premium. I was disappointed to see that only 20 of us showed up. But after that, as my other candidates have said, the governor has issued one-man rule. He has not involved the legislature. Even when we returned to Springfield the very end of May to finish what business we could and pass a budget, the governor would not consider requests by myself on the House floor to address the issue of the emergency days of 30 days had passed, and it's time for the legislature to act and be involved. That was brushed aside. Before we move forward, the legislature must be part of the government. We are an equal branch. We cannot proceed in the next spring session or even in the veto session without the governor recognizing that we have as much a role in this as he does.
We'll now move to a full 90-second question on what the state and lawmakers need to do in the recovery phase down the line when a vaccine becomes available. And we'll start this question with Democrat Carla Bailey Smith.
So one of the keys to our long-term recovery, first and foremost, we all need to wear masks when we're near each other. Because before a vaccine is available, our economy isn't even going to start to recover until our numbers start to go down. One of the most important keys to long-term investment is to get the Clean Energy Jobs Act passed in Springfield so that as our fossil fuel plants are closing down, that we are retraining workers and investing in companies like Rivian, investing in more wind and solar energy in central Illinois. And also, we want to make sure that we're not diverting funds from the Rebuild Illinois plan, because that is a robust stimulus package that's going to keep money in the pockets of workers and in our local economies.
We move next to Republican Keith Sommer on long-term recovery plans.
Carla's right. We have to make sure that people remain safe and healthy. The pandemic is real, And we cannot move forward without continuing to recognize that. The state monies that are channeled, or the federal monies channeled through state government, have to be passed on to our downstate communities. We have the municipal league and all our municipalities asking for the monies that the federal government has already given to the state, but only spent or only distributed in Chicago and a few of the larger communities. Why are we not doing so in all our municipalities in Illinois? The federal government has that obligation to promise those things. But on the other hand, I don't feel that the federal government should fiscally bail out irresponsible spending in government. Not all our municipalities are in financial in dire straits financially. McLean County, Bloomington, Morton. What I find is those communities that have managed their money appropriately in the past will be fine in the future. It seems like the task ahead of us is trying to address the issues that our larger communities have.
And Libertarian Ken Allison.
Yep, I just want to comment a couple things. First off, everybody knows already that we need to wear masks. I think it's about high time that we stop virtue signaling and stop shaming people into doing things that we already know what we're supposed to be doing. And as far as I'm aware, our numbers are going down. Even here in McLean County, they're starting to go down. That's just published as of yesterday. You know, Keith made a great point about, you know, federal dollars getting down to the local levels. The unfortunate part is that the state of Illinois decided to create more regulation and create more rules. You know, East Peoria as a community should have received $1 million in COVID relief. But because of regulation, they only really have access to 50,000. There was an article not that long ago about that. So, yes, we want to stop spending. Keith Summers has been in office for the last 21 years. Where's his culpability and where's his accountability?
What lawmakers choose to work on and specialize in is important for voters to know. So for some, it's education, the environment, business growth, economic development, or any number of other things. In addition to regular constituent services, what issues touch your heart that you believe voters need to know about?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think first and foremost, I think we need to really take a hard look at the educational dollars that are being used to be able to provide a solid foundational education for our children. I oftentimes tell people that, you know, if it's not good for children or moms, soccer moms or single moms, that I don't really have too much of an interest in it. Because at the end of the day, that's where life starts, right? And I think from an education standpoint, we have to think a little bit more outside the box. You know, our educators, you know, because I'm on the school board, I'm witnessing it firsthand. You know, our educators and the administrations are struggling, largely because they're having to deal with the optics of how to manage the school system and how to also get their kids back safely. We have kids that are underserviced because they don't have access to high-speed internet. That's problematic. These are things that are real easy solutions, but they just need to be addressed. But for whatever reason, we seem to lose that fidelity, largely because we don't have representation that's actually being part of the solution. Point blank.
We'll move next to Democrat Carla Bailey Smith.
Well, I have been an advocate and an activist for many years, and this includes, you know, going down to Springfield and attending legislative action days. I feel, as a resident, I feel that our representation for the last 21 years has, certainly in the 10 years that I've lived here, I don't feel like I have representation in Springfield. I don't feel like my concerns are listened to. I find it difficult to get an answer from my representative's office. So I want to be available, and I want to be active. I am active in the community and listening, and definitely families. And Summer says that he supports adoption and family services, and yet he's voted against accommodation for pregnant workers. child care subsidies for working women. He's voted against sex education and contraception. And all of these things affect families. And I want to make a difference.
And Republican Keith Sommer.
Thank you. We all have our legislative interests beyond the major issues that we face, particularly education and budgeting and making sure that we are financially sound. As Carla just said, she has been to Springfield and actually has been in my office with a group of others from Bloomington, so I'm disappointed that she didn't think that I was receptive. There are two issues, frankly, that I have worked on extensively. As an adoptive parent, I've found that with other colleagues, that adoption processes in Illinois were abominable 15 years ago, 12 years ago. And a special committee was formed to address those issues, to clean up domestic and international adoption. Domestic adoption where anyone on the street could charge you $50,000 to get a child and have no real documentation as to where that child came from. And international processes that one person in state government could deny that adoption. The other main issue is child welfare and abuse. DCFS has a horrendous record, and every year we see the publishing of names and circumstances of over 100 children that have died. That is unacceptable. That is one of the causes I pledge to work and continue to work for.
How do you think the public pension underfunding issue should be addressed? What's the way forward? And we'll start this question with Democrat Carla Bailey Smith.
Well, the pension problem, unfortunately, goes back many years when the state of Illinois was not making their full pension payments. So we're left with a situation of trying to recover essentially from the sins of our fathers. And so it's complex. And we want to make sure that the people who are currently receiving pensions, that we meet those obligations. I am certainly open to looking at solutions for future pension recipients.
We will move next to Republican Keith Sommer. Representative Sommer, how do you think the public pension underfunding issue should be addressed?
Well, first of all, we have to address it. The governor's been in office for 2 years, and there hasn't been much of a word about it. It's high time we did that. And Carla's correct. Back in 1979, our pensions were pretty well funded, back in maybe the 98th percentile. But since then, the legislature has made too many promises and enhancements without revenue availability. 9/11 happened. Illinois, which at that time, our state investments were stronger in equities than any other state, and we lost more than any other state. I propose, perhaps to get this ball moving, that we propose that we cap all appropriations and stop new spending until these issues are addressed in a meaningful way. Just don't go forward with anything else until we address this issue. I would ask the Legislative Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability to authorize a financial study to investigate how switching new employees to a defined contribution retirement plan would work financially. The private sector has done that. The public sector needs a look at it. Reamortization that's proposed, I think, is a Band-Aid and just postpones the day of reckoning.
And Libertarian Ken Allison.
Yep, I think the answer is very straightforward and very swift. We already have a system in the university retirement system that's already a defined contribution plan. It shouldn't be that hard for us to use that as a model for the rest of our public pension systems. And I agree with Carla, yes, anybody that wants a pension that's paid into the pension should absolutely be able to have the choice. You know, I spent 27 and a half years in the military. I have a defined benefit plan, right? But the DOD just changed not that long ago to a defined contribution plan. If the state of Illinois can't replicate it, that seems silly. And for Keith to say he's going to go down there and tell, you know, the General Assembly that maybe we should now switch, Why hasn't that already been brought up? Especially since the university retirement system is already an adequate model. The answer is simple. Every new hire that comes on board needs to be enrolled into a defined contribution plan. Stat.
Republican Keith Sommer, Democrat Carla Bailey Smith, and Libertarian Ken Allison are competing for the 88th House District seat. WGLT's Dana Vollmer moderated. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT Normal, made possible with listener contributions at WGLT.org. Our website is also where you can find Sound Ideas interviews and stories with help today from Dana Vollmer. You can subscribe to the Sound Ideas podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or NPR One. This is WGLT, Bloomington Normal's Public Media.